grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Glorious God, your generosity waters the world with goodness, and you cover creation with abundance. Awaken in us a hunger for the food that satisfies both body and spirit. And with this food, fill all the starving world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Good. Why don't you move around this way? Thomas is going, or are you going to stay right here? Okay. All right. Sit around a little bit.
A little bit closer and you can see everything. Yeah, you can sit right there. That's good. That's good. Well, some new faces this morning. I'm Vicar Thomas. I'm an intern here. I'm going to do what Pastor Karen does eventually. I just wanted to let you know that. This morning, I have a snack for you. And this morning, what we're going to have is what I have in these baskets. Oh, there's not too much in there. Oh, that's for your mommy? Yeah, you can give that to her later, I'm sure. Yeah, she'll really appreciate it. Oh, look. I have this one fish. I think that's enough for all of us, right? No? No? Well, I wonder what would happen if God was a part of this meal. Do you think that God would be able to provide enough food for all of us here? Do you think this one fish, can you imagine if this one fish could feed all of us? No, you can't imagine that? No. Well, what if, oh, yeah, you found the fish too. So she's already ahead of me. She's already ahead of me on this. Maybe if we pass these baskets around, maybe we'll see if there's more fish to be found. Here, go ahead and see this. Maybe if we pass them around, maybe if I give this one to you for now. Oh, maybe there's not. Wait, let's see. If I give you that one, suddenly there's more. Oh, look, there's even more in that one. And there's even more in this one, three baskets full. Do you think this could feed us all here? Yeah, well, you can go ahead and grab some if you want. Do you want any of these? Are you hungry? You can have some if you want to grab some. Yeah, good, you can eat some. Well, today you're going to hear a story about how Jesus took a very small amount of food and turned it into a ton of food. Anybody heard that story before?
Yeah.
Okay, you might hear that again today. But you can feel free to take some of these with you if you want to, and you can just remember that from that one fish came all these fish that we can be filled by them, okay? Do you want the Bible to take with you? Okay. All right, off to Sunday school. Thanks, guys.
See you. Love the little children. All the...
A reading from Isaiah. Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good. And delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know. And nations that do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 145 responsibly. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
Lord,
upholds all those who fall, and lifts up those who are bowed down.
The eyes of all.
You open wide your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
You are righteous.
You are near to all who call upon you, to all who call upon you faithfully. You watch over all those who love you, but all the wicked you shall destroy. A reading from Romans. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasingly anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises to them belong to the patriarchs. And from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all. God blessed forever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now, when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves, and he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Seems that whenever there's stories in the Bible about Jesus, you don't have to turn many pages to find a story about food. Jesus and food seem to go together. As often as it's recorded that Jesus went away to pray, it's recorded that Jesus went to share a meal, to have some food with somebody. Food nourishes. It gives us pleasure and comfort. It fills us up. Sometimes maybe a little too much. I saw an ad one time for what was called Thanksgiving pants. Just enough elastic in the waistband to allow you to be comfortable all the way through second dessert. We all need food. It's necessary. It's essential for life. Last Friday, about a dozen St. Peter's members went down to First Lutheran Church to TACO, Third Avenue Charitable Organization, and helped serve a meal to the hungry poor of downtown San Diego. 153 people ate a meal, and then they came back for seconds, and they came back for more. They were all filled. Brad Young, who is the volunteer coordinator of that outreach ministry, always gathers the volunteers before the meal and does a reflection, helps us to remember why we're there and what we're doing, and then has a prayer. Well, he was telling us on Friday about this experience that he'd had earlier that morning. Brad is an early up kind of guy, and he goes grocery shopping before 6 a.m. So it must be a 24-hour grocery. And he said not very many people are shopping at that time of day, but so he has developed a relationship with the security guard who's at the front door. And usually they just exchange a greeting and that's it. But today something different happened, as Brad was telling the story. The security guard was rather animated and wanted to talk. Seems that he had just thrown out some guy who was trying to shoplift some food. And then the security guard said, usually what I do is take them around back or take them into the bathroom where there are no security cameras and beat them up for a while. And Brad said, I didn't know what to say. I just stammered in silence. And I've been thinking about it all morning since that time. What should I have said to that security guard who thought that violence was the response to somebody's hunger? When is violence ever the response for someone who is hungry and needs something to eat? Well, it certainly isn't the response in the Bible. The hunger of the crowds that we hear in today's reading from Matthew's gospel, it wasn't violence. It's not the response that we see anywhere in the Bible. When the Israelites wandered in the desert and they were hungry, they begged God for food and they were given manna. Not fancy food, but filling food. And the hungry were fed. John's gospel tells a wonderful story of a wedding feast that Jesus attended. Now, the people at this banquet were not hungry, but they were soon going to be thirsty. They ran out of wine way before the party was winding down. But Jesus did not berate the host for his poor planning or embarrass him in front of his guests. Jesus provided, and in abundance. The story tells us that there were 6 purification jars. Those jars are like this high. And if we would, they were filled with water, and then they were suddenly filled with wine. That would be about 1,000 bottles worth of wine. More than any wedding party that I've ever attended. 1,000 bottles of wine in abundance, just like God's treatment of the hungry Israelites, in abundance. Today's gospel tells another story of food, lots of food. They had so much food that they had leftovers, just like at your Thanksgiving dinner, leftovers. This isn't a banquet like at Cana, the wedding feast, and this isn't a nation traveling to a new country to save yourself, like the Exodus story. But this story is food to tide you over, food for the trip home, food to keep body and soul together until your next real meal. Simple food, bread and fish. Food to get by. This is basic stop the growling in your stomach kind of food. Something to take the edge off, keep your strength up. These people on that hillside long ago were not invited family and friends like at a banquet. They were not a nation of people moving to a new land like we heard in the Exodus story. These were people who were seeking Jesus. They took a hike. They walked around the lake looking for an opportunity to hear Jesus. Some Bible editors, and as they print the Bible, some Bible editors give different sections of the chapters titles. So there would be, which is not in the original, but you know, it helps us find the passages. So this one is usually called the feeding of the 5,000. Feeding of the 5,000. But if you listened closely to that story, you know that it was actually a lot more than 5,000 because they only counted the men. So let's say 10,000. And maybe some of them had children along with them. So maybe 25,000. There were a lot more than 5,000. The count was taken of men besides women and children. That's a lot of people. In that first century, in that society where Jesus lived, women and children didn't count. The number of those who were fed was a lot more, and yet the number 5,000 is given because women and children didn't count. But as we read that story, we know that the women and children were fed. All who were there were fed. Society may not have included women and children, but Jesus certainly did. To Jesus, they counted. They mattered. And they continue to matter to God. I think it's the same in our society today. Our society says that some people don't count. Those who are not sheltered don't count. Those who don't have a passport or a green card don't matter. They don't count. Those who have an ethnic heritage or sexual orientation or a political stance different from our own don't count. Society says they don't count. But that's not the truth. All God's children matter. These people matter to God. And the God who lives in and through us will work through us so that we can reach out to them, so that we can help those people who don't feel like they count to know that they are part of that crowd that Jesus has compassion on. We know they count. They count to God. And through us, God reaches out with compassion to help them know that they do count. They do matter. You know, the number in this story probably isn't the point. 5,000 or 10,000 or many more or many less, that's not the point. We get a lot of commentaries on this story, lots of theories about it. Maybe it was an outright miracle of Jesus producing more and more than enough fish and bread. Or maybe Jesus' concern and care for the people caused them to see what he was doing and said, oh, that little bit of bread and fish, and they reached into their satchels and pulled out the food that they had brought along and shared that food. Maybe that was what happened. But I don't think that's the point of the story either, how it happened. So what is the message here? All four of the Gospels tell this miracle story. It's the only miracle story that's recorded in all four Gospels. So we know this must be important. But why? Our Pacifica Synod bishop recently started a weekly blog. It's called the Bat Blog. His initials, Bishop Andy Taylor. How cool is that? My initials spell an airline, but to spell a flying mammal, I think that's really cool. So the Bat Blog this past week, I read it to see what Bishop Taylor might think the point of this miracle story is. And he wrote that it's about Jesus taking the little bit that the disciples had to offer and making it enough for the need of all the people who were gathered. Now, Jesus had just learned that his cousin John, the one who baptized him in the Jordan River and so many others as well, that prophet had been killed, beheaded by Herod. Herod was probably having a banquet that day too. In fact, it was a birthday party that he was having. And, you know, the story, Herodias, his wife, well, his second wife, her second husband, with an illegal marriage, probably not a marriage at all. And anyway, the whole story, the daughter says, after she dances, The Herod says, wow, that was a great dance. Whatever you want, I'll give you. So she runs to her mom and says, the king just said, whatever I want, I can have. Should I ask for the kingdom? Half of the kingdom? A new car? He says, and her mother says, ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Herodias hated John the Baptist because he publicly spoke out against her and against the illegal marriage and about how people should treat the poor. And John the Baptist was hated by that authority, and he was in prison at that point. Well, Jesus had just heard that John had been killed. And in fact, right before this, Jesus had been run out of his hometown. Run out of town because he was preaching a message that his hometown folks didn't like. A message of God's truth about how God treats everybody, not just the people that you think God should treat well. They were offended by Jesus' message, just as Herodias was offended by John's message. So Jesus was probably, and definitely his disciples were, thinking about their own safety. Are we next? Are we to be killed next? But here is Jesus in his concern for his close circle of friends, in his grief for the loss of his cousin. Jesus doesn't look for himself. He looks on that crowd and has compassion on all who come to him. And he uses what they have to meet their needs. And he also asks what the disciples could use to help the crowd on whom he has compassion. 5 loaves, 2 fish, it's not enough. Those 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not enough to feed that huge crowd of people, a small village. And yet, with God's help, it is enough. It's enough to feed them all and have leftover. Bishop Andy wrote that he often sees congregations who are fearful that they don't have enough. They fear that they can't afford to help the crowds that are around them on whom Christ has compassion today. These congregations, Bishop Andy said, use their resources mostly for themselves, fearful that if they share first, they won't have enough left over for themselves. You know, 5 loaves and 2 fish was probably not even enough for the disciples and Jesus. I mean, 2.5 tuna sandwiches for 13 people? Even me, I who am not a caterer, know that 2.5 sandwiches is not enough for 13 people. Somebody would have been hungry. But by giving what they had, a little bit, to God, and trusting Jesus with it, they and the crowds received far more than they could have imagined. So here's the good news. Here's the point of the story. God takes the little that we have to offer and makes it enough. Enough with abundance, far more than just for ourselves. And this is what Bishop Andy wrote. When we put God first, God comes through, providing not always everything the congregation wanted, but supplying what is needed. This is not really our work, but God's work through us. When we give first to God, we discover God is already providing for us and continues to provide for us in our need. I think that's the real miracle in this story. Jesus, in both his compassion for those around him and his trust in God, saw possibilities where the disciples only saw limitations. Jesus took what was there, blessed it, gave thanks, and gave it away. trusting God that it would be enough. And that continues to be the miracle in our day. What if, rather worrying about whether we have enough, we simply give thanks for what we do have and use it for those around us and just see how God might stretch and multiply it? This is not, however, a law. This isn't a command, you should do this. This is a promise. This isn't something that we have to do. This is a promise to be heard. God promises to take what we offer with thanksgiving and use it and stretch it and even multiply it to make sure that it's enough. Enough for us and enough for the crowd around us. God is still working this miracle of feeding the 5,000 or 10,000 or 25,000. God is still working this miracle in us. The hungry are fed through your hands. And know this truth. You are enough. God is not done doing good to us and for us and through us. And we pray, God, open our hands to freely give and to freely receive your most abundant blessing. Amen.